Hey guys. OMG. Can you believe it? Episode number one, Mystic Sundays with Malaika. Can you believe this? I mean, I go from having a conversation with friends and we're just discussing what we always discuss, mystic things, right? And when I say mystic things, I'm speaking of like tarot, how to manifest the life you want, you know, soul connections, twin flame, readings, you know, and all the things that honestly, unless you're with your tribe, you probably really won't mention, right? It's not like you would go to your grandmother's house, who's a diehard Christian, sit on her sofa and say, hey, about that full moon ritual I did last night. No, that's not a thing, right? It's not a thing. So this is a space for it to become a thing. You know, not for nothing, it's taken me a long time to get here to a place where I'm even comfortable with like this, like having this conversation and speaking about all these things that I go through on the everyday basis and have been going through. I mean, for lack of a better word, the awakening of it all. And then immediately, almost immediately, when you decide that, okay, no, I'm not crazy. This is really happening to me. By happenstance and almost, I would say, the universe, you start to meet people on the same path as you in some way, having a lot of the same experiences. And I like to call them my soul sisters, like my tribe. And I say sisters because I have yet to meet but one man that is on this journey as well. Not to say that men are not on the journey, but I don't know many awakened men. I know men that know of what I'm speaking about, but to sit and say to me that they've had a lot of these different experiences, the answer to that will be no. So, I don't know, maybe this is your first time even meeting me, right? And if that's the case, maybe a friend of a friend of a friend of my soulmate told you to listen in. And if that's the case, welcome. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Where should I begin? I guess in this place, I should tell maybe a small story about me, right? Who am I? Where I'm from? And what the hell am I doing talking about mystic things on a Sunday? In hopes that someone out there is actually fucking listening. Possible, but if not, so what? I'm still in this 100%. So, my name is Malaika. I am a 43-year-old woman with 3 children, 3 grandchildren, and I am hailing or living from the state of New York. I would like to say that my life, probably from the outside looking in, would seem, how can I say? I would say that if someone were to describe me, they would probably say that I am ambitious, smart, funny, almost like a Renaissance woman, so to speak, right? I'm a vegan. I love to paint. I love to cook. I love to entertain. I'm a Cancer. All of those things equal me. But a couple of things that are new to me, new to my awareness, I'm still even learning about that, right? I'm still even in the beginnings of it. So even as I sit here and I introduce myself to you, I realize in this moment that I'm reintroducing myself to me. Well, at least the parts of me that even in this moment are bubbling up. Like I could actually feel my stomach turning, like almost butterflies, if that makes any sense. But it's excitement, right? It's not fear. It's not like fear of being outed or something crazy. It's like excitement. Like my inner self just wanted to jump out of my skin and like run around this room in circles. Like, thank you, thank you, thank you, finally. And if you're on this journey, you know exactly what I'm talking about. So let me start here. In 2017, I, being somewhat of a, I wouldn't say really religious person, because I don't think that I've ever really been religious, although at one point religion became a huge focus of mine. And I know that was the case at that time, because at that time I was going through a divorce. I was pregnant. I pretty much lost my home, my family. You know, I had to move from Maryland all the way back to New York. And it's one of those times in your life that you really look back and you know, if you're not on your knees praying and thanking God that you made it to the next day, you're doing something wrong. And that time in my life really did redirect my attention to what really mattered, right? Because you get kind of caught up in what life gives you. So for me, what life was giving me at the time was a beautiful home. You know, I was driving a Range Rover, I was married, and, you know, I had all these things. And then I didn't. And then I didn't even recognize myself. I didn't even know if I was coming or going, you know. And now I'm in my 30s at this time, and now I have 3 children, or at least 2.5. I was pregnant. So I find myself in a situation where now I'm traveling back to New York City. And things are just different. Things are changed. I can really look back at that time and say that that's when my third or fourth lifetime started to happen, right? But fast forward, in 2017, I realized that I was trying to find me. You get kind of caught up in what we want people to believe of us. We want people to know of us. You know, that face that you put on before you have that conversation. You know, that, that representative that we all have in some way. As my dog scratches this door to get out. Get out. I have to decide if I'm going to cut that out or not. But back to this. It's that time in our lives. And I think a lot of people reach that time when they think that they've come to a certain place that just no longer feels right. You know, no longer feels like you anymore. It's like, not quite me, but definitely something else. And in 2017, it was for me that moment, right? So that was the year that I 100% went raw vegan, 100% jumped all the way out there with a full scale fitness regimen, 100% went out there with starting this whole gratitude journal. Where, you know, every morning, not missing a morning, I actually started a ritual or some type of meditation, so to speak, where I would just keep a journal. And in that journal, I'm just saying how grateful I am for It could have been anything, a cup of coffee, you know? But looking back, I realized it was those things. Maybe extreme, of course, because I'm a Cancer and we could be a little extreme, especially when we put our minds to things, right? Looking back, I realized that I needed that extreme to be able to hold myself accountable for the things that I was trying to recreate in my life. One of the major things being just me, you know, just trying to figure out who I am and what I want. So as I embarked on this vegan journey, but not even vegan, raw vegan, right? So again, extreme. I mean, raw veganism is not for the faint of heart. But that's when, if I tell the story any other way, I can only tell it in this way. That's when clarity ensued for me. It's like when you start taking away things that, you know, maybe at one point you thought you needed. Now, see, I'm a cook, or I like to believe like my own little chef. I love to cook. I enjoy that, right? And food is a way that I show affection. You know, I love to cook. I like to entertain. And so by taking all of the things that I love away from me, I mean, just as simple as having a fucking cup of soup. I mean, there's nothing warm here, people. This is all like raw, right? If it's not in this raw state, you are not eating it. It's just how it is. But the clarity that came from that, I don't think I've ever had as much thoughtfulness, like that direct line forward, you know, like not having a cloud in the sky, having an idea and a spark that, I mean, now that I look back, it's like, wow. Yeah, I mean, that's something I would recommend anyone and everyone to do. When you start to take away, and, you know, people do this for other reasons, but for me, it was just a lifestyle change. But when you start to take away the things like food, you know, like meat, like processed items, like, you know, your body changes. And those changes have memory, right? So you kind of get kicked back to a time when things were just simple. You know, you're just drinking water and eating your vegetables, and the body is not working as hard, breaking down all of these things, and it makes everything else that much easier. And I'm not going to get into this part of it because that's a long part, right? But this is my experience of it. So, okay, simple enough. I was raw vegan, and that had been the route that I was going to take to find this new part of me, right? So at some point, I figured, you know, I've always wanted to own a business. I've always wanted to, you know, do an entrepreneurial journey or life. And throughout my life, I've had several opportunities to go with it 100%. But at some point, you know, entrepreneurship is hard too. And so I would go in and out of it, in and out of it. But finally, I tell myself, okay, you know what? Go ahead, get up. Where did you ever want to own a business? And the thought came to me, Virginia. So without any real planning, probing, looking, that was just my next thing, right? So I jump up, I leave Maryland, I go to Virginia, and I move there without a job, without anything lined up that said that I could do it. But I just knew that everything was going to work out. And I can't explain this to you any better than that. But I felt like somebody literally turned a light on in my forehead. And that light stands in front of me. And all I need to do is follow the light. I don't have to know exactly where it's taking me. I just have to have the courage to be able to walk in that direction. And that's all that was asked of me. So that's what I did. Again, not for the faint of heart, right? So, yeah, I jump up. I move to Virginia. And I'm dead ass serious that I'm going to open a med spa there. And I start looking and I start searching. And one after the other, things start to line up. I'm laughing now because I'm like, yeah, literally one after another. So 2018 comes around and I find a place. But I also find something else in 2018 that was very interesting to me. So it's been a year now. I'm still very, very vegan. No longer raw, but definitely vegan. I'm all moved in Virginia and I am journaling as I usually do, right? Because this is also one of my meditative practices that, you know, I just did not drop. It was a consistent thing that I did, journal and a gratitude journal, right? So I'm journaling my regular journal and I'm also always writing in my gratitude journal. But this day, I want to say it was a weekday, could have been a Monday, not sure. I'm in my bedroom and my sister, so I have a sister, her name is Stephanie. I have two sisters, but this sister, her name is Stephanie. And, we're about 10 years apart and she moved back to Virginia with me to help me open this business. So she's in another room and I'm in my bedroom and I'm listening to a podcast with Oprah, and Oprah is interviewing a gentleman named, what was his name? Something McLeod. What was his name? Ainsley McLeod. Thank you. So I'm listening and she's asking thoughtful questions, but I could hear the skepticism in her voice. And this whole episode was about having a spirit guide. And, you know, he's speaking about just that, you know, everyone has a spirit guide. And, you know, these are people, not people, I'm sorry. These are energies and their spirits that basically come into everyone's existence because everyone has one, right? And again, I'm making this simple because at that time I did not understand what he was saying. And basically he went on to just describe the fact that spirit guides or spirits that guide us have never walked the earth as human beings, right? They never walked the earth as a human. You know, their only job is to guide you, and your soul and this spirit guide comes into union. And a part of that union is a contract that states this, that no matter how many times you decide, your spirit decides, your soul decides that it wants to come back here and do this again, that spirit guide will be with you. So, of course, it was a very interesting podcast and I'm listening like, wow, all new things to me, right? All new things. And so at the end of the podcast, Ainsley says to Oprah, because she asked him, do I have a spirit guide? And he says, absolutely, you do. And she goes, well, how do I know him? What do I call him or her? And he says, you would just need to ask. Depending on how connected you are as a spiritual being, your spirit guide and you could be in commune. Like you could have a conversation with this spirit guide. And now I'm floored. I'm like, what? Is this a thing? Oh, okay. I got to see how this works, right? And so I close my laptop and I sit straight up in my bed and I put my pen down and I'm like, I wonder if I have a spirit guide. Ainsley said all I have to do is ask. So, okay. Well, I wonder if I have a spirit guide, but I still didn't ask. I'm just questioning it, right? I wonder if I have a spirit guide. And so I jump in the shower And in the shower, I'm like washing and I'm like laughing to myself because only I can go through this type of thing and really be with it, like 100% in it, right? And so I'm there in the shower and the water is like beating down my forehead at this point. And I look up at the ceiling and I say, do I have a spirit guide? And if I have a spirit guide, what's your name? What's your name? I listen for a minute, nothing. So I laugh like, oh, this is crazy. Girl, get your life together. So I'm washing, I'm getting ready for the day. And yeah, I get out the shower and I'm like putting on lotion. I have my robe, my towel wrapped around me. And I'm like, you know, putting on some type of a body lotion. And then I hear very clearly, my name is Kevin. And I said to myself, what? Bitch, are you bugging right now? Like, what? Girl, if I didn't know any better, I would think you was smoking. And so I'm like, what? And then in my head, he writes out the initials to his name, like every initial, K-E-V-E-N, and he showed it to me like a movie screen, if that makes any sense. And I'm like, whoa, I have a spirit guide, his name is Kevin, right? So what else do you do with that information? I mean, who the fuck has these type of moments, right? Who do you even talk to about this shit? So again, I'm in my room like, get the fuck out of here. This is craziness. So he says, it's not crazy. And I said, okay, well, let's prove it. Can you prove it to me? Can you prove to me that you're a spirit guide? And he's like, yes. Go to the MGM today. Now, I moved to Fairfax, Virginia, not too far from the National Harbor. And in the National Harbor, there is a MGM hotel and casino. I know that. We all know that, right? So I'm like, cool. I'm going to do it. Stephanie comes into the room and she's like, girl, you in here laughing? I'm like, I got a spirit guide and his name is Kevin. And she's like, bitch, what? What is wrong with you? I'm like, listen, and she goes, first of all, what is a spirit guide? I said, exactly. I have a spirit guide. His name is Kevin. And he said for us to go to the MGM. And she goes, okay. Now, in any other situation, I don't know how everyone else's relationship is with their siblings, but my siblings are like my biggest cheerleaders, my biggest fans, and vice versa. I'm the same way to them. So I can always be as open as possible with them. Why? Because I trust that they are not going to use my words against me, right? Because that's not a conversation that you could have with everyone. I mean, not at that moment, not at that time. But I trusted that that's something I could tell her and she wouldn't judge me. She would laugh at me, of course, like, girl, but judge, never. So long story short, maybe about 15 or 20 minutes later, the telephone rings. It's my then husband and he's calling. He's like, look, they opened up a crab, all you can eat crab place over in Fairfax. Not too far from the house. Do you want to go? You know, I want to take you and Steph, get dressed, you know? I want to take you guys to this all-you-can-eat crab place. And I'm like, cool. So we get dressed and he shows up maybe like 15 or 20 minutes later. And 15 or 20 minutes later, he shows up and, you know, we jump in the car and we don't talk about it. Me and Stephanie, we don't even discuss it. We just, you know, go have lunch, right? And so we make it to this all-you-can-eat crab place and it was actually really good. And it was their first day open and, you know, they had a bunch of little different deals, let's just say. And one of the deals of the day was like half off of, you know, whatever. Anyway, we sit there, we're eating indoors. It was cool. I'm saying indoors because as we know now with the situation that we're in COVID, when was the last time you ate indoors? But anyway, So we're eating indoors, and over the bar they have a television, flat screen television, and you know, it's we've been eating and licking our fingers now for about a good hour. So it's about 3 p.m. or so. And over the bar, there's a television. And in the television, there is an ad that pops up for the MGM in National Harbor. So immediately, it reminds me, it kind of takes me back to my conversation with Kevin, right? And I'm like, oh, that's right, Steph. Remember I told you that Kevin said we need to go to the MGM? And she goes, yeah. So I look at my, well, his name is Lowell, right? So I look at Lowell and I say, hey, I have a spirit guide. His name is Kevin. And he said for us to go to the MGM. And he's like, okay, whatever that means. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know. I can't make this shit up. It is what it is. So he goes, yeah, okay, fine, let's go. So we're going to the MGM at 3 p.m., right? And we get there. Obviously, there's tons of parking. No one is there but us. It's ridiculous. So we go inside, and I get immediately when I hit the floor. So I want to say, now I recognize these cues as to when I'm being approached by spirit. At that time, I had no idea what that was like. But as soon as the elevator door opened and my feet touched the actual floor, my whole body got hot from my head to my toes. And that pit of the stomach thing where it just kind of feels like every butterfly in the world is toiling in there. They are just flipping and flopping and blah, 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 blah. And that's what I was feeling, right? And I was so, I felt anxious. It felt like all this energy just rattling all over me, you know? Like I had a vibrator in my pocket or something ridiculous, but that's what it felt like. And I could feel almost every hair on my head. Like I can feel the hairs. It's interesting. So we get off the elevator, and as soon as we hit the floor, again, there was a, what do you call this? Because I also, I'm really not a big gambler, right? It's not my thing. But roulette table. There's a roulette table right when you get off the elevator and you walk onto the floor. And it's right there, and I hear Kevin's voice again. There. This time it wasn't as loud. I noticed that his voice wasn't as loud as it had been in the past, like in the past morning, that past morning. It was almost like a whisper, like there, like that, you know? And I was like, woo, okay. But I still could not bring myself to do it. It was like, I don't know. I don't know what to do with this. This is crazy. So I don't tell Stephanie or Lowell at the time. He's pointing me to this roulette table. I'm like, nah, I'm good. So Stephanie goes, oh, we have to get these cards. We have to get these cards for the game. I guess you have to like get these cards that like, I don't know, keep your credits or something like that. I don't know. Anyway, so we go to the customer service desk. We all get cards. And now we're walking to the area where they have a lot of slot machines. And so we're in this like penny slot area, more or less. And I look up and I'm looking over and I don't hear Kevin anymore, right? I don't hear him. And we're just trying to figure out where to go. And I'm like, oh, I guess it's gone. You know, I've been standing here for like 2 minutes, nothing. And then all of a sudden my body gets hot again. Boom, from the foot to the head, heat. And I can feel all of that energy in my stomach. And he goes there. And at the back of the room, all the way in the back, there were 5 machines lined up against the wall. And now I'm excited again. And I'm like, oh, God. Okay. So I'm like, we have to go back here. So we go back to this area. and I sit in the middle because that's where I was told to sit. Stephanie sits to my right and Lowell sits to my left. Lowell kindly hands us both $20 bills. So he gives me and Steffi $20 and we put our money into the machine. I hit the damn button and we all look up. So Stephanie puts her money in and Lowell puts his money in and we look up. And like dominoes, I hit maybe, I think it was $1,100. Between $1,500 and $1,100. I don't remember the exact amount. Stephanie won about $400 to $500 and Lowell won $9. I mean, how else would you like your spirit guide to show you who he is? And not for nothing, I tell that story now and it's like, wow, yeah, that is how we made our connection. That's how we made an acquaintance, you know? So, yeah, I have a spirit guide and his name is fucking Kevin. And as time goes on, our connection has gotten stronger and stronger, and my gifts have gotten stronger and stronger. So with that being said, a lot of the things that I wound up doing later now make sense to me, but at the time was a struggle. So for one, all of a sudden I had this interest in tarot. And when I say all of a sudden, literally all of a sudden, because I had no interest in it before. Had I gotten readings before? Absolutely. I had absolutely gotten readings before, but I did not show any interest in trying to learn the cards, understand them. Wasn't my thing. And I remember one day I woke up and, you know, it was a Sunday. So was it Sunday or Monday? It was a Monday, so I wasn't at the spa, and I decided to spend my day in Barnes & Noble's looking at tarot cards, randomly, and I found a deck of cards that I thought I would like, and I took them home, and I sat on the floor, and I did not get up from that spot for 8 hours. 8 hours, I just studied the cards. I was so intrigued by the imagery of the cards. And it wasn't even a deck that was really, you know, a lot of imagery on the card. It was your regular tarot deck. But every time I turned a card over, before I had to even look up the definition of this card or what the card meant, I knew. Intuitively, I knew what the cards meant. And not only did I know what they meant, it was telling a story to me. So when you hear someone say intuitive empath, that will be me. Intuitively just feeling, that will be me. Intuitively just knowing, that will be also me. So imagine you are 40 years old at this point, I guess. And you're having this whole very interesting spiritual awakening. Now, it doesn't come without its hard times, because that same summer was probably the hardest summer of my life. It was like, when people call it the dark night of the soul, it's absolutely that. Any and everything that no longer served me, that I refused to let go of, showed its natural ass that summer. I'm talking about childhood trauma. I'm talking about having a poverty mindset, having being attached to things, people, places that was just not even good for me. But I could not even tell what it was. It could be even just having the thought of something that no longer served me, like refusing to make a change and do something different because you spent time making that fucking mistake. You know, it's like, well, I've been making this mistake, so let me just keep doing it. That bullshit. Yes, that was the roughest, toughest, personal summer ever. I mean, I went back and forth. I felt like I was depressed. Like, it was odd. It was like I didn't recognize me anymore. I no longer recognize my thoughts. And again, this is having met Kevin, but even at this time, I don't even think we were really in commune. Like, I don't even think we were really having that type of conversation. It wasn't like it is now. And I almost felt like he kind of dropped me off. Like, it was like, where are you when I need you, right? I'm going through all of this stuff. And now I was told I had a spirit guide. You said you would be there, and now nothing, right? But now I realize that I couldn't hear him because I was so full of me. And I had spent the year prior to that just getting to know me, right? The ins and the outs of me. Taking away all the clutter, all the things that was like stopping me from growing, expanding, to now being bogged down with stress, worried about money. Oh, my spa is going to close. I don't have any clients this week. It was one thing after the other, and I really couldn't see the forest through the trees. But anything and everything that I felt was a problem was a problem. My marriage was a problem. Like, it was any and everything. It was like all my fears, right? Crazy. So, yeah, this is what happens. This is a thing that happens. And some people experience ringing in their ears constantly. I have two young ladies that I'm working with now that their ears ring for hours on end. I don't know that I could do that. But I don't know if they could have gone through what I went through, you know? So everybody has their journey. So in the end of the day, right? Because I don't want to hold you with this story of how I became spiritual Malaika. Tarot became another language for me. Almost like learning to speak Spanish or learning to speak just another language in general. Tarot reading became a language for me. And with that language, I was able to translate from one place, let's just say the 5D to the 3D. Now, as we talk on Sundays, that conversation gets clearer and you'll know what the fuck I'm talking about. But I'm not doing that tonight. We're not going to do that this Sunday on our very first Mystic Sunday call. I'm just going to use a bunch of different lingo and language that who cares if you know what I'm talking about. But ultimately, at the end, I will meet you where you are. And that's a promise. So, needless to say, as time goes on, now we can fast forward another 2 years. Now I am a master intuitive reader. I coach several different women and small business owners, you know, because intuitively I can help. You know, I'm spiritually gifted in that way. And it's been the best 2-3 years I've ever had in my entire 43 years. It's a level of awareness. It's a level of awakening. It is just becoming that is awe-inspiring. And I cannot explain it more than that. As we come here and we speak and we discuss and we tell stories, I'm sure this will get interesting for you because it's definitely interesting to me. And the plan is that not only will I call on spirit to co-create these conversations with me, I'm also going to call on my soulmates, my tribe, and we're going to have conversations, candid as can be, about what this type of life does, what it means, where it takes you, you know, where it spins you, because it definitely spins you. But it won't be a walk you have to walk alone. You will meet your people. That's just it. And I have met client after client, right? Reading after reading, I have met the most interesting, inspiring women, men, you know, just man. My network is huge. And I never miss the opportunity to be great for them, just as they are great for me. We are here to help each other. We are here to help grow, change, challenge, inspire one another. And that's what this conversation is going to be about on Sunday. How can I inspire you today? How can you be inspired today? And that's why this, to me, is one of the most important conversations. Because I think just in living, we miss this. We miss being connected. So, without me holding your ear any longer, I hope you enjoy this first episode of Mystic Sundays. And I hope that you got to know me a little better if you knew me in the past. And if this is my first time meeting you, welcome. I can't wait to connect with you again next Sunday. So until then, ta-ta for now. Well, thank you. We did it. That was our very first episode. And I want to thank you for joining me. I mean, I feel privileged to be able to sit here and tell my story. And I can't wait. I just can't wait to see exactly how this grows and changes. Of course, with your help. So, until next time. Hey guys, welcome back. All right, so I just wanted to come on and I didn't want to leave it empty, right? Thing is, I had my very first Mystic Sunday event yesterday and I didn't get a chance to record anything for this episode because I clearly was just mesmerized by the process. What I will say is this. Yesterday, I was able to meet some of the most fascinating women and have the best brunch, actually made by me mostly. And one or two of my soulmates also chipped in to kind of make it just as welcoming as possible, the experience, right? I don't know what to say. I'm having a hard time recording today. And one reason is I think I'm still in yesterday. Like I'm still in the energy of yesterday. It's crazy. But I didn't want to like not put anything up today, right? Yesterday I didn't do it and I kind of felt like a big fail. But lack of planning, right? Not really thinking. So, man, what I realized is this. If there is no I'm still at a loss of words. Listen, I don't know. Yesterday was very interesting. So Mystic Sundays, right? Mystic Sundays, when I decided to do this podcast, when I decided to make this a thing, it came with another idea. It came with another idea for like monthly or bi-weekly meet and greets, you know, where we sit and we discuss mystic things, but we do it in a very open group forum. And yesterday was our first, you know. I partnered with a really, really good friend of mine that I've come to love to this point, at this point. And we came together and we gave this event. And not for nothing, you know, we've been planning this event for probably the last month. But I kid you not, every freaking Sunday that it was planned, because it was invite only, I posted the event on Eventbrite. It snowed every fucking Sunday. I mean, it was like, originally it was planned for like the first Sunday of the month, and then it got pushed back, and then it got pushed back again. So now yesterday, finally, right? Finally, we were able to come together. So 10 really awe-inspiring women purchased tickets, you know, and came, you know, to this event that I really, to be very honest with you, didn't know if we would get as many, as that much interest, you know, like, okay, yeah, some people say, you know, there's definitely something that's, you know, there's something here to talk about, right? This is a way for us to get together and talk about it. But even when I was putting this idea together for the podcast, and even as I was putting the idea together for this Mystic Sunday brunch that we would do, I didn't know exactly how excited or how interesting, you know, it would be. And I say that to say that I posted the event on Eventbrite, and I literally made it a private event, but you know, you could obviously see different events happening. And I received like 47 messages, oh, you know, saying, oh, I can't buy the ticket, or, you know, something like that, or I'm trying to purchase a ticket, there's no way for me to buy a ticket, or when is the next event, you know? And I'm like, wow, I didn't even realize it would be that interesting, right? And I put a very vague description of the event up there. But anyway, I'm saying all that to say that, you know, you will meet your tribe, you find your people, and your people will find you without even really trying, you know? And yeah, we had this beautiful brunch yesterday, and from the conversations to my open readings that we actually did, I wasn't really sure how I was going to pursue that part of it. At first, I was thinking, okay, maybe if I allow Kevin to choose the person that they, you know, that he wants to speak to, and then I kind of focus my energy on that person. But that's not really what happened, because ultimately, I saw my reflection in everyone there, right? So literally everyone there was a reflection back to me about me. And I think that was happening all across the room. It was a sense of unity that was very, I can't explain it, but it was like one of those things that happened, and you really can't put your finger on that magic, but you know magic when you feel it. It's like that, right? So all of these women, some of them knew each other. You know, maybe it was one or two that came together, but most of us were like strangers. You know, most of us really hadn't spent as much time together outside of maybe like one lady said, I met you in the elevator one time, you know, that idea. But just to like really get together and have that open conversation and an open discussion about all these mystic things. And, you know, needless to say, there was a lot of tears, there was a lot of laughing, but ultimately it was like beautiful. It was beautiful, hands down, like one of the best experiences I can say that I've had to date. So I'm going to make a slight video of this. I'm going to put it on Instagram. I'm going to put it on Facebook or whatever the case is, so you can get to see, you know, a little bit of what went on that day. But I mean, honestly, you know, when I'm doing readings as a reader, you know, I'm channeling a message, and a lot of times, you know, I don't remember what I'm saying. It's one of those situations where I walk away from it like, okay, well, yeah, you had a reading. I hope it worked out for you, because if you didn't write down or take notes, good luck with asking me later about how it went, you know, because I don't know. So yeah, I think I'm going through that right now, right? I'm pretty sure I gave about 7 open readings, and from what I understand, they were on point. So hey, I'm like looking forward to planning the next one. So I think my mind is still wrapped up in that event, and I'm trying to, like, I did record a lot of it, so I'm trying to grasp at different things that maybe I could have missed that was happening in the background where I was listening to someone's story, you know, or when we were like sharing different things that have happened, you know, different awakening moments. It also brings up another idea, right? So at the end, we kind of gathered together at a studio. And, you know, just not everyone, but some people had to travel back to New Jersey, or, you know, they came from a nice long distance. And we were there from 11 to probably
before it was over. So that was a couple of hours, you know, but it was great the whole time. You know, we had some music. It was great. So anyway, at the end, we did gather upstairs, and what came up was, you know, hey, you know, how would you feel about doing open mediumship as well? And I was like, ah, you know, the thought of it gives me a headache right away. Gives me a headache. And I say that because, I mean, I don't know how a lot of people channel. I'm not sure how the next person reads. I don't know. But for me, when mediumship comes into play, I immediately get a headache. You know, I'm deciphering these messages. I'm trying to get the information right, you know. So it's a lot of that. And I think it just makes me very, I don't know, it just gives me a headache. Whenever a spirit approaches and they have a message for someone specific, I immediately get a headache. So anyway, that was posed. Like, that was brought to my attention. Like, maybe we should do the next one. So I'm like, all right, if that was an option, I would only do it with four individuals. And it would only be for an hour. And in that hour, it would be 15 minutes. You know, 15 minutes for each person. I don't know. But again, my energy is still in yesterday, and I'm trying to process what all of that is, what it means. I'm still very excited. And the bottom line is that I think it was really good. It was really good. You know, it was something that was actually needed. We spoke about tarot. You know, we spoke about how people use different divinations to, you know, I don't know, to read. Like, I don't necessarily need cards to read, but I use them to kind of break down the reading and get a little bit more clarity around what I'm feeling or what I'm seeing or what I'm hearing, you know? So we spoke about those things. I think that it's ultimately something that we will do again, and I'm super excited. So again, I didn't want to come on here and say nothing, but what I will say is that I am going to release an actual episode for this week before Friday. So, you know, if you're following me on Instagram or, you know, any of those social media outlets, or you know me personally, you know, shoot me a text, say, hey, girl, you know, because I've got a couple of those today. Hey, what happened to the, you know, episode for Sunday? And yeah, it was just because we were doing it in a live version. Okay, so anyway, I am going to sign off, and I'm going to start preparing the next actual episode. So stay tuned. Again, thank you for being so supportive, and thank you for all your great, 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 great opinions about what I'm speaking about. And even, you know, random, I'm hearing a lot about the sound of my voice. Like, it's sexy. So I like that too, and I'll take it. So anyway, again, I'm signing off. And I appreciate you for listening in, and I will talk to you soon.